I want to continue this series, Love the Bible series. And today the title is Bible and Living by Faith. Bible and Living by Faith. And I need to give credit to Rick Warren. I got some of the points for this sermon from Rick Warren. And, I was listening and reading the sermon that he did, and he had like 15 points. Okay? Yeah, that's too much. So I put it down to like 5 points, 5 points. We live, again, in a fallen world. We all know that. You know, this world is very broken, and you and I are broken. And we will face difficulty and hardship and trials, temptation. We will fail at times. And when I wrote it, it wasn't this depressing, but eventually we will die. We will die. Now that I say it, it sounds a little depressing here. But how are you going to go through the storm of life? You know, it's not just positive thinking. You know, positive thinking is good, all right? It's better than negative thinking, but it might make you feel better, but it has no power, okay, when you're in the midst of a storm. You might escape, or you just, run away from it, but it has no power. In the storm of life, you must hold on to unchanging truth. In the storm of life, you must hold on to unchanging truth. Your life must be on the foundation of Scripture. Right? And, drugs are not going to help. Sex will not help. Money will not help. Junk food and Netflix, will not help you in the storm of life. You must put your faith in the Word of God. And putting faith in the Word of God, what does that mean? What is biblical faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's an assurance about what we do not see. Okay? It's not making up things, but what does it mean? Assurance of what we do not see. Biblical faith is related with vision. Okay? Not what you see with your human eyes. It's not what you see through the lens of the world. You are not looking at the circumstances through the lens of fear or lens of hopelessness, lens of shame, brokenness, or sin. You look through, okay? You look at your life through this different lens. Okay? And you look, it's a spiritual vision that God is asking you to have, this faith. Assurance of what we do not see is a spiritual vision. And what is that spiritual vision? We need to see ourselves. We need to see others. We need to see the world that we live. And we need to see God through the lens of Scripture. Okay? We need to see through the lens of Scripture. Look through the meaning. We're going to put this spiritual glasses on, okay? And we're going to look through truth, God's truth, God's will, God's righteousness, and God's kingdom. And when you do that, 2 Timothy, it says, so that the servant of God, okay, when you look through the lens of Scripture, so that the servant of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And the Bible, in another passage, Joshua chapter 1, it says, when you look through the lens of Scripture, okay, you will be prosperous and successful. Hebrews 11 lists all the heroes of faith, like Abraham, Moses, there's Rahab, lists people who overcame because of their faith. Right? And they didn't rely on human understanding, but look from God's biblical perspective, God's promises, God's will, and God's word. Their decision, okay, those heroes of faith, their decision and choice, their direction in life, They didn't look from human lens, because everything you see with human eyes is temporary. Okay? My body, my clothes, this building, money, pleasure. But the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 built their life on the unchanging word of God. They had assurance about what they could not see with their human eyes. See, we need to do this because you and I are limited. There are a lot of things that we don't know. There are many things that we do not understand. You know, we all have a computer, right? And you think you understand because you know how to use a computer. But when the computer breaks down, right? When the computer breaks down, you realize you don't know much about computers when it breaks down. Most of us know how to drive a car, you know. And, you know, a couple days ago, my car just stopped. I had no idea, you know, what the problem was. When it breaks down, you know, has a problem, we don't know what to do. During the storm of life, when things break down, when your life is chaotic, you are going to realize you don't know much about life. When your computer breaks down, you rely on an expert. When storm of life hits you, you need to rely on the unchanging truth of the Word of God. I need to hear amen to that. And so, what does it mean to live by faith, or assurance about what we do not see? What does it mean to live by faith in the Word of God? Number one, the Word of God recreates my life. Say that to your neighbor. Okay? When my life is falling apart, when it feels like it's at the end of the rope, God comes in and recreates my life. God gives me a whole new life. God gives me a fresh start. The Bible calls this being born again. Okay? Born again means that you get a whole new life. You get a start over, a clean slate. James chapter 1, verse 8 says this: He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Okay? He gives this new life through the word of truth. What it's saying is that without the Bible, you won't know how to be saved, how to become a Christian. If it wasn't for Scripture, you wouldn't know about heaven. You wouldn't know the significance of Jesus dying on the cross. You wouldn't know how to trust God. You wouldn't know that God has a purpose for your life. You know, Luther, you know, he was in the Catholic Church. He understood the salvation, that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. How did he understand that? Because he was meditating on the book of Romans. Right? It was because of the Bible. Because of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." We know God because of the Bible. It is the Bible that's going to show you the path to the kingdom of God. The Bible is like a seed that's planted in your heart. And it is a seed planted in your life. Once it takes root in your heart, it begins to sprout, grow, and then it begins to bear fruit. Right? So the Word of God recreates my life. Number two, the Word of God eradicates my shame. Say that to your neighbor. You know, I don't have to have any guilt anymore in my life. I don't have to go around with regrets in my life. I don't have to go around with shame in my life. You know, most people are stuck with failure, mistake, and sin of their past. Shame can be your strongest driver in life instead of God being the driver. Shame can be the strongest driver in your life because of lies. You don't know the Bible. Okay? Shame can control you, motivate you. It can become your identity. You know, the devil will maximize your failure, your mistake, and your sin. The devil will shame and condemn you. The devil will use shame to disconnect you from God. You know, shame-based thinking is like this. I'm not enough. I'm always lacking. I need to work harder. I need to prove my worth. I need to meet everyone's need. What shame does is set you up for failure. Okay? But the good news, God wants you to be free from guilt and shame. How do I know that? God instructs us through the Bible when it comes to shame. What does the Bible say about shame? 1 John 1:19, it says, if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. John 15, verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. When I take the word of God and I live it in faith, it cleanses me. It cleanses the dirt, the junk, the grime, the shame, the sin. I need to move the focus. This is what the Bible says. Move the focus from who I am not to who Christ is. Take the focus on me and move the focus on Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, for the joy set before him, Jesus here, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus scorning his shame. Jesus endured the cross, hated and scorned the shame. Not hated you, but hated the shame. Shame that robs people of intimacy with God. Shame that crushes your soul. Shame that kills your joy. Jesus took care of it for us. What Jesus did for you, it is not point out what is wrong with you. He solved the problem of sin. Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sin. To those who receive and believe Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, God forgives, God shows grace, God loves, cleanses, redeems, sanctifies, transforms, and he gives you power. And not just that, the Bible says, he who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion. Why do I give this 2 points? Because that's the message of the Bible. This is the message of the Bible. This is the important, most important message in Scripture. It's called the gospel. The gospel. And that's in the Bible. Right? And so the Bible is speaking to us during this time of storm. Jesus is for me, before me, behind me, in front of me. Jesus surrounds me. And God's people said. Number 3, the word of God stimulates my growth. Okay? Living by faith in the Bible, I said, first point, recreates my life. You know, it lets me start over. It gives me a fresh start. I am born again. Okay? And it eradicates, point number 2, it eradicates my guilt, wipes, the slate clean. Shame and guilt has no hold on me. Number 3, the Bible stimulates my spiritual growth. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Now, this is Apostle Paul speaking to the Christians in the city of Ephesus here. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. I commit you to God and the Bible, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. It will build you up and it gives you an inheritance. Now, in the context, you got to understand, Paul tells the Christians in the city of Ephesus, I'm getting ready to leave. Okay, and he tells them, I have to go. You know, they're pleading with him, don't go to Jerusalem, stay here. You know, no, I have to go. And you know what he tells them? I will never see you again. Okay? I will never see you again. And I am committing you to God and the word of his grace. I'm committing you to the scripture, which can build you up. I'm going to be gone, but the word of God will make you grow. Will make you grow. And you have an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, inheritance is what you get for being part of a family that is rightfully yours. Okay? Rick Warren used this illustration. He said, say your father is Warren Buffett. Okay, who is Warren Buffett? He's one of the richest people in the world. One of the richest people in the world. And say he's your father, and he writes a will, and he dies. Okay, and he leaves you an inheritance. Okay, and the will has all the things that you inherited. Right? What if you never took the time to read the will? You know, that would be dumb, because you would not be getting in on all that is rightfully yours. You will not be benefiting from that which belongs to you as a child of Warren Buffett. You will not be able to enjoy the blessing of the Buffett family because you don't know what you really have. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, when you put your life in Christ's hand, when you trust Jesus for salvation, you become a child of God. You become part of God's family. And as children of God, okay, you have family privileges. You're an heir. You have this great, great inheritance. And how do you know all the spiritual blessing that's in Christ Jesus? How do you know all your inheritance that is rightfully yours as a child of God? How do you know? The Bible. The Bible. If you don't know the Bible, you don't know what you have inherited as a child of God. What is rightfully yours. What rightfully belongs to you. Number four, the word of God encourages me. Say that to your neighbor. Yeah, we all need to be encouraged right now, right? We all need to be encouraged right now. There is a storm all around the world in our life. There's a shaking. There's a lot of fear, anxiety, depression. There's evil. And when you get discouraged, you don't need a coffee break. You need a Bible break. I got that from Rick Warren. I thought that was okay. You don't need a coffee break, but you need he said word break. I changed it to Bible break. Okay. And God gave us the Bible to encourage us. Okay? God gave us the Bible to encourage us. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says this. For everything that was written in the past, yeah, everything that was the Bible that was written to teach us. Okay, you know, if you're a seminarian, that's all you focus on about the Bible, to teach, to teach, to teach, to teach. You know, some Christians, that's all they. But why? This gives a purpose, so that through the endurance taught in the Scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So that it will encourage you and give you hope. Okay? God gives us the Bible to encourage you. And Scripture is my number one encourager. Right? It is. It's my number one encourager. You know, I don't know how many times I was tired, I was discouraged, I was out of energy. And scripture encouraged me. It encouraged me. When we are tired, depressed, when we want to give up, don't go home and turn on the TV. Try reading the Bible. Why? The Bible has the power to change your life. Netflix and YouTube helps you to escape for a little while. It does. But it doesn't change you. It doesn't give you power. It doesn't give you the truth that will set you free. Every day, there are things that drains us. You need something every day that will fill you. This is the reason you need to have quiet time, daily devotion, personal time in the closet where you're meditating on the Word of God. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 to 3 says this, but they delight, okay? Did you read? Delight, okay? They delight in the Bible. They delight in the law of the Lord, okay? And if the youth are here, delight in it. Don't say, because my mom is making me read this. It's not forced. You need to delight. Delight in the law of the Lord. Meditating on it day and night. Okay? Meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. This is a promise for everyone here. It's a promise for everyone here. Some of you are sitting, how come, God, you bless this person, and you don't bless me? Do you meditate on the Word of God day and night? That's the question that I ask you. This is the promise when you meditate on the Word of God daily. You know, there's great fear. Old issues are being stirred up. There's conflict. There's confusion. There's weakness and sin. There might be no one who can help you. Apostle Paul said to this, I'm not coming back. You'll never see me again. You know, the flesh is strong. And this passage says, your meditation on the Word of God daily will help you overcome and succeed. They are like a tree planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do. You could sit there, your meditation on the Word of God, daily meditation, makes you take your eyes away from your flesh, the world, the devil, and your spiritual eyes open. You get this assurance of things that you cannot see. You see what God is doing. You're seeing, what is God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? Well, if you're not meditating on Scripture day and night, you'll always be confused. Why is not God blessing me? You know, and you could get all upset, but here's a promise. If you meditate on His Word day and night, your leaves will not wither. You will prosper in all you do. Okay? The Word of God is meant to encourage and give you hope. If you are discouraged and you lost hope, it's telling me one thing. You're not meditating on the Word of God day and night. The more you are discouraged, the more you need Scripture. Okay? More you need the Bible. Amen? Number five, the Word of God liberates my potential. Okay? This is my last point. Only God, your Creator, knows your potential. Say to your neighbor, God knows my potential. Okay? Your parents don't know your full potential. Your husband or your wife don't know your full potential. Your friends don't know. Your boss don't know. You yourself don't know. Okay? Only God knows what you're truly capable of. So you have to spend time in God's word to get out of the box that others have put you in. Right now, most people live for the expectation of others. They live for the approval of others. They worry about what others think of them. Growing up, you know, we all heard things like, you can't do it. You'll never be good enough. Why can't you be more like your brother? You'll never amount to anything. It's a lie. Okay? It's a lie. In the storm of life, you know what the winds, the flood, you know what that is? Lies hitting you. It's lies hitting that house. Right? And lie is simply a false evidence appearing to be real. But instead, okay, because you're looking with human eyes, you're listening with your flesh, God is asking you, put a new glasses on, assurance of what you cannot see. Look with spiritual eyes. Look through the lens of Scripture. Look at the circumstances. Look at who you are created to be through the lens of Scripture. Not the brokenness of your childhood, but through the lens of Scripture. James chapter 8, verse 31, 32 says this. If you continue in my word, okay, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciple of mine. You are a true disciple. And you will know the truth. Does it say, you know, if you just come to church every Sunday? No. If you continue in my word, then you are truly a disciple of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Only God knows the full potential of your greatness. And as I was preparing this sermon, the picture I got was this bird in a cage, and the door was locked. Now, can you imagine this bird who could fly, never know because he's in a cage all his life? But what the Bible says about itself, okay, if you continue in the Bible, the cage door is open. Okay? You're free. Truth will set you free. It will make you able to do things you never thought you could ever possibly do. The Word of God will set you free. God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.